You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Saturday evening, July the 18th, year of our Lord, 2015. I'm your host, James Edwards. We are all in with you tonight, breaking from our standard format. Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Keith Alexander joining me in studio from the top of the program this evening as we share with you a most momentous occasion that occurred right here in Memphis, Tennessee, last Sunday. You know, we have witnessed this anti-Southern hysteria that has swept through the country, swept through the South, being perpetrated by the media and the government. It has metastasized in recent weeks, and I felt the pressing need to do something active. I wrote about this on our website, of course. And the fury and the hatred of all things Christian and Southern since the shootings in Charleston has just gotten out of control. I have never seen such hatred as I have witnessed in the last few days, and so much of it directed at one of the greatest American heroes that I can call to mind, that being Lieutenant General Nathan Bedford Forrest of the Confederate States of America, a native Tennessean, died in Memphis. And, you know, they're trying to dig up his grave, dig up the grave of his wife, desecrate his corpse, tear down his monument, which is by far the most beautiful equestrian monument that there is, and we couldn't let that happen without a fight. And so I had planned to organize a rally in defense of the honor and the memory of Nathan Bedford Forrest. We have done things similar in years past, and I was willing to go it alone, but before I went in and took out the permit, put in a few calls, and lo and behold, other Southern patriots had something similar in mind. So rather than have competing events, you know, folks, if we would concern ourselves more with getting the job done right rather than who gets full credit for something, we could accomplish a lot more than what we're doing. And that's always been my motto. And so when other people had already taken out permits and laid the groundwork, I just politely asked if we could use this radio program to help support and promote the rally on behalf of the general and join forces and turn out a bigger crowd. And they were happy to work with us on that. We were expecting 150 people, maybe 200, maybe 200. Last Sunday, over 500 people showed up. And I can't take full credit for that, but we'll take some. Political Cesspool listeners, some drove more than 10 hours just to be there in Memphis and stand with us with Confederate flag in hand. And I'm not even going to get in tonight to what the Confederate flag really stood for, what the Confederate States of America really fought for. We've covered that extensively over the course of the last 2 weeks on this broadcast. I would encourage you to take advantage of our broadcast archives, free and available on demand. Go back and listen to the last 2 weeks' worth of shows if you want to know what that war was all about. I don't think anybody in the country could break it down any better than what we have in the course of the last 2 weeks. But tonight we're going to talk about this event, this amazing event. People coming in, certainly all from the greater Memphis area. Richard and his lovely wife coming in from Nashville. We know them. Brian from Arkansas, who gave us this Confederate flag at the 10-year anniversary celebration that we held in Memphis last October. He was there. Other Political Cesspool listeners from various states all throughout the greater Memphis area, they were there. And let me tell you something, folks. It was one of the most memorable and triumphant days of my career to have turned out, I think, very legitimately, the Political Cesspool turned out anywhere between a fourth and a third of that crowd. Everywhere I went, everywhere I turned, people recognized me, came up and identified themselves as a listener of the show, shook my hand, asked for a picture, something along those lines. Keep in mind, this is radio and not television. So to be recognized, you know, sight seen as a radio man is something. Obviously, they've gone to the website or seen us around hither, thither, and yon. I can't tell you how good it was, though, to see that many good people, righteous people, Christian people, hardworking people, taxpaying people, family people. There were men, women, and children there, young and old, throughout the political and economic spectrum. There were lawyers, there were doctors, there were laborers. There wasn't a piece of litter left after those 500 people left. There wasn't one foul word spoken. It was family. I've already talked longer than I want, and we got to play Traffic Cop tonight because we want to give equal time to both Keith and Eddie to share their reflections on that day. Since Eddie's mic'd up, we'll start with Eddie, and then we'll give Keith the bulk of the next segment. But Eddie, share with us your most memorable memory of what you witnessed on Sunday. What stands out to you the most?
Well, I'll tell you, I like to say good evening.
Hang on. If you turn your mic on, that always helps. There you go. Go, Eddie.
I would like to say good evening out there to all of our beloved listeners and our beloved fans and our beloved brothers and sisters. I tell you, as soon as I came up to the park, I was greatly relieved because I'm going to tell you people, you may know my character over the listening. If you've been listening to us a long time, I don't frighten easily. Even though sometimes I'm apprehensive, I'm never, ever going to back down. I will fight to the death. That's my promise. But I told James, I said, James, I have a very bad feeling about this situation. One factor I'm not going to mention because it would cause maybe a rift between us and another organization. But I felt, and I told James, I said, James, I'm 68 years old. I smell a setup. I smell an ambush. We're one of the most hated groups in Memphis, Tennessee, the tri-state area, United States. I had a genuine fear for me and James. I really did. A righteous fear, a common sense fear. I feared an ambush and a drive-by shooting. I really did. Those were great. Those were real possibilities you hear about every day. But when we pulled up to within sight of that park, folks, I tell you, I hardly have words to express my emotions. I saw those Confederate flags waving around. I saw people coming, just filling up the park, driving their cars up, parking in the park. You know, the law enforcement people be damned. They were going to park and come there. I had chills for the, honest to God, I had chills for the first 30 minutes. People, I hear the music. We'll have to come back after the break, and I got to tell you about a few special people we met there.
All right, then we're going to toss it over to Keith, and we've got a lot more to talk about. This is going to be the topic of conversation for the bulk of the first hour. We're going to get into the shooting in Chattanooga, of course, tonight, that tragic situation, and much, much more on the Political Cesspool tonight with James Edwards, Keith Alexander, and Eddie Miller. Stay tuned, everybody. Keith's coming up next.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
So in this attempt at the cultural genocide of the Southern people, taking down, digging up the grave of one of our greatest heroes, Nathan Bedford Forrest, Forrest's own admonition came to mind: get there first with the most men. I think we answered that call, helping to turn out a crowd of over 500. One of the organizers claimed it to be 600 people. Either way, it was a lot. And I'll tell you, it was very moving. It was incredible to see, as Eddie mentioned, all of those Confederate flags. Just a great, great time. Eddie, talk about the people you met.
You know what? I would like to mention the two people specifically that really impressed me from Georgia. Ben from Georgia and his buddy it belongs to the League of the South. James, as I mentioned in the audience, these two kids were roughly my grandson's age. And it's hard to express the emotion that a 68-year-old has for these kids that young. They came all the way up here from Rome, Georgia. One of the kids I'm talking about came up to me, asked me my name. I told him Eddie Miller. He said, "Eddie the Bombardier Miller." I said, "Yes." And he was just so respectful and paid me so much homage and adulation. Like I was his hero. I said, "Look, we only came about 15 miles up, Ben. You and your friend came all the way from Rome, Georgia. You are my hero. You're James's hero. We come up here and just do this show. We do precious little else." But I hugged them just like I would hug my grandson. I hugged both of them. It was the most genuine grandfatherly emotion, the most genuine grandfatherly love. I love the two kids on sight. Several other people came up there, and how they recognized me, I'll never know because I don't look much at all like my photograph. There was a New York Times reporter there, a reporter of Commercial Appeal. Well, our good doctor friend from Ripley, Mississippi, came up here. There's just one person after another recognized us and came up and hugged my neck, told me how much it meant to them, how much they appreciated us being there. And I had chills and almost had fever for 30 minutes. I was so emotional. I took the big flag, that huge Confederate battle flag. It flew at James Edwards' wedding. I took that flag and went back and forth on the sidewalk out on the major thoroughfares here bordering the park. Most of the people here in Memphis gave us positive signs. We got some negative calls. As James would mention, no negative calls came from our crowd. All the negative, hateful speech came from the enemy. And I tell you what, I was so encouraged. I told James I was kind of down, discouraged. I felt like it was going to be me, James Key, maybe a handful of people at best. And I felt like for sure we're going there to get ambushed. But it turned out very good. I like
couldn't have gone better. By any standard of measurement, all the people that came up there,
thank you, Lord, for coming up here and bolstering our spirits. Thank you so much for your loving kindness and respect. We will fight to the death. I'll give you my solemn promise. I will never back down, no matter what the odds. That's my solemn promise to you people. And now I'm going to pass this over to my brother Keith.
Keith, your thoughts on the event, the participation, the draw, the turnout, the schedule of events that we saw while we were there, so on and so forth.
Look, it was a 10 out of 10 in all categories. That's all I can say about that. I was the one person there that also attended the anti-Forrest rally that was held at 5:30 Friday at Forrest Park at the foot of his statue.
This would have been 2 days before our event.
Right. The anti-Forrest used to be like a following my behind enemy lines of modus operandi. I showed up. I swear there were about 10 people, including one suckling babe at the mother's breast at this affair. It was basically Myron Lowry, an obese black city council member of the city of Memphis, and his posse was out there. It was a pathetic showing, and the pro-Forrest crowd that came to the Forrest birthday celebration, which was scheduled for that Sunday anyway, it just was fortuitous that this all kind of dovetailed together like it did, was one, it was probably the most orderly, well-behaved crowd I've seen at any public event. And it was just, there was a family feeling there, and you could tell there was just so much more support for venerating and commemorating General Forrest than to support the anti-Forrest crowd. There's just no comparison. Of course, it's all comes down to the observation, if a tree falls in the Siberian forest, does it make a sound? Well, no, not if anybody doesn't hear it. Of course, that pathetic gathering on Friday of the anti-Forrest faction received much more play in the local news media and national news media than ours did. But I will tell you this, the caliber of the people there and the quality of the fellowship, no comparison whatsoever. We're on the right side. We're on the side of righteousness and truth and proper veneration. We're supposed to venerate a moral reprobate like Martin Luther King, for example, who is a serial adulterer, a physical and sexual abuser of women, a man who plagiarized his doctoral thesis, things like this, one thing after another. But on the other hand, we're not allowed to venerate a man who is as much of a moral paragon as Robert E. Lee. His statue, his memory, is under attack along with every other Confederate general, every other Confederate monument. They're talking about taking the faces off of Stone Mountain that were carved in there of five Confederate generals, I believe. They're not going to they're going to be like the Royalists did Oliver Cromwell when they regained power after the interregnum period with Cromwell's Puritan government taking over. They dug up Cromwell's corpse, tried him, and then beheaded his corpse. I wouldn't put that past the people that are opposing the Confederacy and all of its symbols. This is their way of showing us, one, that they're relentless, and two, nobody bucks the revolution and gets away with it. And three, they have won the culture war. They feel now they're making the victory lap. They're going to show us that they can do anything whatsoever. This reminds me of what happened in the Soviet Union after the Bolshevik Revolution when they were pulling down statues of czars and people like this in the past. This is the Jacobin spirit of the American left. Watch it and be horrified, James.
Well, we certainly are. But what buoys our response is, of course, is the response from our people who came out in, you know, in this political climate, which is so toxic to whites, to Southerners, to conservatives, Christians. To Christians, to gun owners, to taxpayers. I mean, you go all down the line, you know, our people, constitutionalists, our people, you know, the godly, law-abiding people that make up this audience. It's hard out there for our people. Everybody can be proud of who they are except for our people. And to see that many people under these circumstances and this relentless and incessant attack, more vicious than ever before against our people, our symbols, our flags, our identity, our heritage, to see that many people come out in a place like Memphis defending Forrest was just incredible, Eddie.
One other comment. Well, I'll wait till we come back to the music. I got one additional comment to make.
All right, and then we'll tell you about a little hiccup that occurred during the course of our promotion of this event. You don't want to miss this story. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. US.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. It is indeed Saturday evening, July the 18th. You might have heard, if you're listening online, a bit of a rebroadcast of a previous show when we first started. But everything's 5x5 now, and the archives won't be affected. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Eddie the Bombardier Miller here, reminding you that the zeal and the sense of determination of those gathered in Memphis on Sunday was very palpable, a very proud day to stand with folks and with fans and with supporters of a just and righteous cause. And again, we're not going to get into the whole breaking down of the facts and figures of what the Confederacy and the Confederate flag was really all about. You listen to our last 2 weeks if you want to know that. I do want to tell you about a pretty interesting side story to this event, but we're going to give Eddie 60 seconds to wrap up a thought he was going to make before the break, and then I'll break it down for you going forward. Go, Eddie.
I would like to quickly say that what you saw at this Forrest birthday party was you'll never see at a black rally, at a Jewish rally, at a Muslim rally. I saw and felt the most genuine Christian love and gave the most genuine Christian brotherly love that any time you'll ever see in your life. It was people just loved each other, a genuine love. People that had never seen each other in their whole life hugging. It was a great love. You'll never see that at a black rally. It's all hatred and venom. Another thing, my brother Keith mentioned the culture war. I say we've lost the culture battle in the controlled Jewish Zionist media. The culture battle. If we can ever get that media away from the Zionist, well, you know, we will have, we'll win the war. But the battle rages on. But I feel like that rally right there let me know that the majority of our people feel the same way we do. And if they just, some of them are lacking in courage. And I think, and James, and Keith, I've never been so proud. I said, thank God we have had a small part, hopefully, Lord, in helping give people courage to stand up. That's what I'm so damn proud of. You know, I've told James 1,000 times, James, I'm so discouraged I could just die. But I see something like this, and people, you charge my batteries like you would not believe.
And it could have been a lot bigger. You got to understand that this is just 500 people, which is a pinprick between, when you take into account those in the South who feel this way, it's just a pinprick.
Well, I actually heard 600 by the moderator of the event, who was one of the leaders of the local Sons of Confederate Veterans Organization. But nonetheless, there were a heck of a lot of people there. It could have been as many as 1,000. I don't think there's any way it could have been smaller than 500. But, you know, T.S. Eliot, the English poet, said, "This is the way the world will end, not with a bang, but a whimper." Believe me, this attack on the Confederacy and its symbols is not going out with a whimper, folks. Amen. People are being galvanized by this throughout the South. I saw a posting on the internet. It said the rebel flag, it had the Naval Jack, what we all call the rebel flag, and then it had the Republican flag, which was a white flag of surrender, okay? See, this is where we separate the sheep from the goats. We're going to see who our supporters are among the elected officials and who the Judas goats are, the Nikki Haley's, the A.C. Whartons here in Memphis, the people that are using this opportunity to try to make political capital and to show what they're actually showing is just how cowardly and unprincipled they are, particularly if they're Republicans. And, for example, the mayor of Memphis, the black mayor of Memphis, A.C. Wharton, who up until this point I had been a supporter of, he has been basically gutting public employee unions, pension funds, health insurance benefits, things like this. And as you might expect, he has gotten a lot of blowback in the black community from this. So consequently, he's facing re-election coming up in the fall, and he is looking for some way to make political hay, to score points in the black community. And he apparently decided that going against Forrest, Forrest's statue, the graves of General Forrest and his wife, was the way to do this, a quick and easy and politically cheap way to do this. Well, I think he's miscalculated greatly. I think he's going to, there was a lot of white support for Mayor Wharton until he did this. I can tell you now that there is a lot of further, previously unfelt and undiscovered animus towards him because of this unwarranted attack on the symbols. You know, I was really kind of disappointed. I thought he would be above that type of thing.
Well, you know, Nathan Bedford Forrest has been laying in restful peace at his gravesite since 1904. I guess all of a sudden they figured out that they were offended by that. Last week they figured out that they had to. You know, this is sick, though, when you start digging up graves. And talking about support, Keith, not only did we have a great crowd, and you mentioned that the rally against Forrest, which was held 2 days prior to the rally that we supported, drew 20 people. So 500 versus 20. There was not one protester at the event that we were at, not one. And in addition to that, when the city council held their vote and they voted unanimously to dig up the grave, that chamber was full. Everybody that spoke on the issue spoke in favor of leaving Forrest where he was. Not one person spoke in favor of exhuming the bodies of Forrest and his wife and demolishing the monument. So there is a huge disconnect between the sociopathic elite political class in Memphis and the Memphis voter. And that's not to say that some blacks and some whites have not been led astray by the lies the media has told about Forrest and about the Confederacy. But overall, still, in spite of their best efforts to taint and to sully and to denigrate the memory of these great people, overwhelming support. And hey, listen, how do you judge support? Judge the support by the rallies. 500 versus 20. Unanimous consent in favor of leaving the parks by the will of the people there at that city council meeting. And yet the city council unanimously votes to go against the unanimous consent of the people. So this is where we are.
That shows you that the left is in total control of the news media and of elite opinion. On the other hand, you know, we've always suggested that, you know, the reason why the Confederate flag was raised in the first place was because it was necessary to oppose federal governmental tyranny, the tyranny of a distant few over the wishes of the people most impacted, the people on the ground in the localities. That's why the Confederacy was formed. That's why the 11 states that comprised the Confederacy seceded back in 1861. And quite frankly, we're seeing a replay, actually, of the same type of tyrannical power being exercised against us that led to the original Civil War, or so-called Civil War. It's a, you know, it really isn't a Civil War, because a Civil War would be a contest for the control of the same government. That's not what it was. It's not like the American Revolution didn't want to take over London or control of London. They wanted to separate. And if the original 13 colonies could secede from the British Empire, then, you know, it would be intellectually dishonest to say that the southern states couldn't do it. General Forrest, all of the issues that have been laid at his doorstep as negatives have all been thoroughly refuted, but that doesn't make any difference whatsoever to the left. The left has decided he's a villain, and they're not going to let him off the hook because they haven't found anyone to substitute for him. And quite frankly, the more you look at Confederate leaders, the more there is to admire, James.
Well, that's absolutely right, Keith, and people need to get, as I believe the Barnes Review says, they need to bring history into accord with the facts instead of this narrative that is written, facts and truth be damned. I will say a couple of other things. You think 500 was impressive in Memphis? How about 5,000? The same day, the same time we were holding our get-together in Ocala, Florida, which is about an hour and a half north of Orlando, you had 5,000 people participating in the Southern Pride Ride, which was a motorcade, a convoy of motorcycles and
automobiles and vehicles, various vehicles, waving the Confederate flag. And the news coverage of that was very balanced, I found it to be. They interviewed one of the 5,000 people and one of the three protesters, and so that's how they do it. And it should be that's fair and balanced. But 5,000 people, and you didn't hear about this unless you went to Occidental Dissent or the Council of Conservative Citizens or this program, but there was a black man who was firing a gun from the street into the crowd. Now, did you hear about that? Thankfully, no one was killed or injured, but he was firing blindly at the cars and motorcycles as they went by. But I bet you didn't hear about that. But 5,000 people strong. And in Marion County, Florida, the county commission there voted unanimously to raise a Confederate flag at their governmental complex. So, folks, for every bad story that the media likes to exaggerate, there are good stories out there. And one of them took place
in Memphis. They're burying all the pro-Confederacy stories.
They're burying it, absolutely. We've got to take a break. We're going to come back with Scoop Stanton right after this.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, I could continue on discussing the success of the rally at the grave and monument of Nathan Bedford Forrest last Sunday in Memphis, and I will in the second hour. But I would like to remind you of this, ladies and gentlemen. We posted pictures, and pictures, after all, are worth a thousand words. We posted about a dozen pictures of the rally. Don't take our word for it. Who are you going to believe, us or your lying eyes?
I saw one media outlet here in Memphis say that dozens showed up at the rally. Well, I guess that's true. However many dozens it takes to reach 500 or 600, yeah, that's how many dozens were there. We got pictures of the crowd. We got pictures of us. Pictures of a lot of Confederate flags. We got pictures of the CSA mechanized cavalry. All kinds of good stuff. Ladies in antebellum dresses, my kids who were there, picture of the monument. Go check that out. And believe it or not, folks, a picture of Eddie Miller holding this oversized flag. This flag's like 5 feet by 10 feet. It's a huge flag. Picture of Eddie holding this flag in front of the monument. Navy Chief Art Frith said they caught his good side on that. It's just a picture of Eddie's back holding the flag. This made it into the Associated Press. I saw this picture in newspapers in Sacramento, Milwaukee, newspapers across the nation. It actually made the Yahoo News Celebrity Photo of the Day. It was number one of 500. The Yahoo Celebrity Photo of the Day, Eddie Miller at our rally holding this beautiful Confederate flag. It's my flag. Anyway, enough of that. We got to go to Scoop now. Scoop has got an excellent report comparing and contrasting the shootings that took place in Charleston, which we all know, and Chattanooga just this week. And without further ado, let's turn it over to our intrepid correspondent, Scoop Stanton. Scoop, take it away.
Thank you, James. Good evening, Suspool family. Last Thursday at approximately 10:45 a.m. Central Daylight Time, Mohammed Yusuf Abdulaziz started shooting at the Armed Forces Recruiting Center on Lee Highway in Chattanooga, Tennessee, sitting in his Ford Mustang, in which one Marine was reportedly wounded. At approximately 11 a.m., Abdulaziz crashed the gate of the Navy Marine Corps Reserve Center on Amicola Highway, went into a building, and shot, killing four Marines and seriously wounding a sailor who would later die. Abdulaziz got into a shootout with local police and was killed on the scene. One officer, Dennis Pettigo, was shot in the foot and was expected to make a full recovery. The names of the five killed in action is as follows: Gunnery Sergeant Thomas Sullivan, Lance Corporal Skip Wells, Sergeant Carson Holmquist, Staff Sergeant David Wyatt, and Petty Officer Second Class Randall Smith. I say these people were killed in action because this was an act of war. These gentlemen were wearing the uniform of our military service, and somebody who had a grievance against the United States took serious and deadly action. Here's what we know about Mr. Abdulaziz. He was a 24-year-old Kuwaiti immigrant. Three guesses what religion he follows. He posted about fighting for jihad online, but I guess the 40,000 NSA employees missed that, just like they missed Boston, Fort Hood, and other places. I guess the NSA was too busy watching the white military veterans complain about being watched by the NSA. Now, let's compare this to the Charleston shooting. Nobody in left-wing media is asking what websites Abdulaziz visited. Nobody is asking if Abdulaziz waved the ISIS flag. Nobody is rushing to the door of CARE or other front groups asking how long this piece of trash has been a member of that group, has been a donor, and nobody is asking about his overseas trips. And absolutely nobody in the left-wing mainstream media is saying the dreaded T-word or M-word. T standing for terrorism and M standing for Muslim. Now here's the difference between the left and the right. Abdulaziz shot a recruiting center with a gun-free zone sticker on the door. I am not making this up. Recruiting stations and other facilities were made gun-free zones allegedly by President Bill Clinton. In Louisiana this week, Governor Bobby Jindal gave authorization for the National Guard troops to carry guns. My question to you all is, with the two attacks on the World Trade Center, the two embassy bombings, the Khobar Towers, the USS Cole, Fort Hood, the Beltway Sniper, when will America take radical Islam as a threat? Another thing you don't see from the mainstream media is calls for gun control. And also, there's no repeating of the names of the five people, because the five victims that were killed in action were five white males who were patriots. And of course, there's absolutely no reaction from our politicians in the District of Columbia. Nobody's saying, hey, we're going to find out who was responsible, who helped them, and we're going to either deport them, jail them, or even worse. So that's it from D.C. Back to you in the studio, James.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen, if I had an hour to break down the most interesting aspects of this tragedy that occurred in Chattanooga, Tennessee a few days ago, I couldn't have done better to pack it in to a couple of minutes than what Scoop just did. He covered all of the important angles of this story. The victims don't fit the narrative. You're talking about white servicemen. The killer doesn't fit the narrative. You're talking about a Muslim, not some deranged person that they're trying to cast as you know, a Confederate sympathizer. On and on and on. The contrast could not be more stark. The situations are similar. The narrative doesn't fit in this case. So everything that they tried to apply to Dylann Roof, all of the tenuous and non-existent links that they tried to create, not happening here. Obama himself has said, I'm going to toss it over to Keith before we go back to Scoop, because this is, of course, Scoop's segment. Obama himself said, in the last time a Muslim shot up a bunch of people, and this happens fairly regularly, I can think of Fort Hood, I can think of several instances, whites doing what Dylann Roof did almost never happens, maybe once in a generation. But
like Halley's Comet.
Well, yeah, we talked about that last week. But Obama said, you know, we can't let the actions of one Muslim disparage all of the good ones, because this was an isolated incident. But when a Southerner does it, everybody who holds reverence for the Confederate flag was at fault. Keith, take it from there very quickly and then back to school.
Right. Isn't it remarkable? I think the Southern Poverty Law Center and Salon.com and some others are now supposedly going to give us proof that domestic terrorism is more of a threat than foreign terrorism. But of course, in their definition, Muhammad Yusuf Abdul, whatever it is, I can't say it without getting an Excedrin headache, the Chattanooga shooter is a domestic terrorist, just like Dylann Roof. Dylann Roof, a white Southerner killing black people en masse, is about as rare as Halley's Comet. It flies through once every 75 years. Meanwhile, every few weeks, we have some Muslim atrocity where 30 Christians are beheaded somewhere in Tunisia or something, or you have a shooting at Fort Hood, or you have this shooting at Chattanooga. You have them all over the place. But, of course, when that happens, we're not to rush to judgment. We're scolded. We're admonished by our news media and our elites. You know, nobody knows what motivated this person. Of course, when Dylann Roof does it, there's no hesitance whatsoever to say that everybody that supports the Confederate flag, everybody that is a Southerner, every white Southerner has complicity in his actions, okay? Now, you know, it's too absurd to, you know, not comment upon this double standard, James. It's just absolutely incredible.
Well, thank you, Keith. And Scoop, again, I say to you, my friend, bravo for putting together that very succinct and punchy commentary. Where would we go from here? And, you know, and I want to add, Scoop, along with Eddie Miller, Winston Smith, and Art Frith, the majority of the Political Cesspool staff have served honorably in our armed forces. So, you know, for all this talk that a couple of left-wing hate groups bestow upon us, I'd like to put our service record and our integrity and character and credibility up against theirs any day. Scoop's one of our fellow veterans here. So I know this hits close to home for you, Scoop, correct?
Right, and also don't forget, New York correspondent Sean Bergen also served 4 years in...
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes,
right.
Thank you.
But here's another thing I noticed watching the left-wing media. They're not sitting there all day, every day, talking about the four and now five victims like they did in the church shooting. The church shooting, it was a tragedy. This is also a tragedy. Also, another reason why we need to follow alternative media, including the Political Cesspool and other sources, is that restaurants and bars across the country have been putting four placemats for the four dead Marines. Anybody that's served in the military know that the POW table has a empty plate with some salt for the tears, has a lemon for the sour taste, and a upside down glass and with a rose and a red ribbon to remember those who didn't make it home. Also, I want to know if the White House is planning on sending anybody for the four funerals of these gentlemen. Because, as you know, when back in December, when Officer Lou and Ramos of the New York City Police Department were murdered, The White House sent nobody, but Freddie Gray, they sent people. Mike Brown, they sent people. Garner, they sent people. But, you know, dirtbags, yeah, they'll send people. But, you know, real heroes or crime victims, they won't send people. For example, that young lady in San Francisco was killed by an illegal immigrant. Not only did they not send anybody, but the Secretary of Homeland Security couldn't even say if anybody contacted them to express their condolences. James?
Well, let me just say this, Scoop. This is Keith Alexander. I wonder if the Attorney General of the United States is going to investigate the Chattanooga shooting as a hate crime.
Ah, very good point. Well, listen, you and Scoop have both been on fire this segment. Scoop, you made the show tonight. I don't think we can improve upon what you brought to it this evening. And thank you for offering what I believe will be the most comprehensive compare and contrast to the two shootings that occurred in iconic southern cities, Charleston and Chattanooga, that you'll find anywhere on the radio. Thank you, Scoop, and we'll talk to you next week. The rest of us will be back right after this for the second hour of tonight's live broadcast.